power. Okay, thank you very much. It's wonderful to have to still be able to conduct the step of water baptism. At the same time, to have new ones in our church. No, I don't want to be a pastor like Pastor Lily. We are just going to officiate wedding every time. We're going to conduct funeral every time. No, no, this is not our main role. Okay, our main role is sharing the gospel, bringing people to our church, and getting souls saved, and seeing members grow in the knowledge and the goodness of God in their life. Okay, I feel the need to say something. Okay, Pastor Lily did not ask me to say something. I just want to say that Pastor Lily and me, when we share the word of God, okay, we try our very best. We are no more like the past in Quezon Street. Okay, when we share the word of God, we don't pinpoint at anyone. We don't. We try our best not to. Okay, try our best not to. Okay, so if you, I just want to say that if God says something to you, you know, I have a friend, he said every Sunday, his pastor always talk bad about him on the pulpit. Then I go and tell my pastor, Pastor, he always say that you talk bad about him. Then my pastor said, who is he? I don't even know his name. So many a time when God speaks to you, why don't you take it as a conviction from God? God is talking to you about things in your life that you need to change. You understand me now? Pastor Lily and me have come to a point that besides my two children, okay, my children, I have the way to say about them. But we try our very best not to say anything about anybody. Anyway, today's message has nothing about anybody, okay? Just on faith, okay? Father, right now, I just want to pray that you will just anoint the word of God. Let this church continue to grow for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and we pray. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. The nature and power of faith. Okay, this is my title. The nature and power of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen will not make of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to title my message, as I said just now, The Nature and Power of Faith. I know that all of you has gone through this passage of scripture. It's one of the more popular passages of scripture that is in the Bible. But then I will say that I'm going to share this totally new. Okay? I don't take from my old sermon and take it out. In fact, I don't look at my old sermon. I just do it a totally new message. The Nature and Power of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is an Old Testament examples of those who were faithful in difficult situations. Those who were faithful in difficult situations, they are meant to encourage the original readers. The original readers were those people during the time of Jesus. In the book of Acts, they went through very, very difficult situations, much worse than any one of us. What we have right now is just the COVID-19. But for them, they have the experience martyrdom. So the message was for them to tell them to remain faithful in very difficult situations. At the same time, Hebrews chapter 11 is also for believers of all ages, and especially for believers of today's, that is our end times, to remain faithful no matter what difficult circumstances, what physical circumstances, difficult physical circumstances may confront you. For the past 2 years, as I said just now, okay, the COVID-19 has affected us deeply. Some of people are in deep depression. They are always having to stay home. You know, one of the sisters was saying that she had to stay home because of some COVID situation. And she said that staying at home can be very depressive, can be very difficult. So we can learn from this Old Testament example, and that is remain faithful. Remain faithful in whatever state you are in. Believers start in faith, continue in faith, and die in faith. I say again, believers start in faith, continue in faith, and die in faith. It is not how well you begin. No, it's not how well you begin, but how well you end. Did the COVID-19 cause you to end badly? I thank God that all of us begin with faith. How do I know that all of us begin with faith? The fact that you are here, the fact that you're here, it means that you began your service, your relationship with God in faith. But what matters most is how we end our life. You know, I'm 60 years old. Okay, I'm looking forward, and I want my ending of my life to be in faith. The faithful end, a faithful ending is the beginning, it is the source of a true beginning. That means a faithful end is the evidence of a true faith, a true faith in its beginning. How do I know that your faith in the beginning is true? By looking at the ending of your life. Okay? The author of Hebrews, which is Paul the Apostle, he evaluates a believer's life, evaluates each and every one of our life, from the faithful conclusion towards its faithful beginning. They are not only the initial professor of faith. No, we don't want to just be the initial professor of faith, but we want to live lives of faith until the very end. We want to live lives of faith until the very end. Like Paul said, you begin well. Who did hinder you? Let not anybody hinder you in your life, in your Christian faith with God. This morning, I want to encourage all of us to be faithful in the midst of the difficult situation of the COVID-19. I want you not to just begin in faith, but end your life one day in faith. I want you to not just start in faith, but continue in faith that you're doing right now. And then end your faith one day in faith. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, the nature of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 in the Jubilee Bible say, faith, therefore, is the substance of things hoped for, waited for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is not a theological definition of faith. No. It's not a definition of faith theologically. No. It's actually a picture of the practical outworking of faith. It's a picture of those whose life mentioned in Hebrews 11 and the outworking of their faith. The idea is things not yet experienced but hoped for became real to us by faith. Things not seen yet but hoped for become real because of faith. You know, Joy gave us a good news that she is pregnant. And I sent her a congratulatory message of celebration. She then starts to have negative comments saying that maybe it is not confirmed. Maybe it's a false alarm. Maybe when the baby comes, there is defects. And if there is defect, she's not going to have the baby. She will abort the baby. Then she said that maybe the baby will not be whole. I declare to her in faith, your baby will be fine, Joy. Faith is believing that Joy's baby will be whole in the womb without defects. I don't see the evidence yet. It will take 8 months for me to see the result. But I faith. Well, recently, the gynecologist tell her that the baby is confirmed and the baby is fine, doing well in the womb. Okay? Then, in the first visitation, the doctor also said that, don't worry, your baby is okay. And she's starting to manifest morning sickness. Joy missed the food here. So Pastor Lee said, what do you want? Minodo? Puchero? She loved corned beef, the canned corned beef. You know the canned corned beef in the Philippines is the best. No joking, no exaggeration. I've seen literally Filipino carry canned corned beef to Singapore. And we are one of those. We carry the corned beef. And Joy will love. You know, sometime when Pastor Lily was cooking, then Joy said, so far I'm tired. I'm cooking corned beef. Oh, okay, I'm coming. Jen loves dinola manok, right? She loves all these things. Okay, that's not my sermon, okay? Jen, on the other hand, has just changed her career from the Ministry of Education. She was doing very well in the Ministry of Education. Okay, has just changed her career from the Ministry of Education to Enterprise Singapore, a very powerful company. Okay, it's a consultation company that helps company in Singapore or over the world how to start up their company. She works as a consultant. So she's moving from the Ministry of Education to Enterprise Singapore. Both government agency. This February, Jen is supposed to receive her long-term bonus of 10,000 Singapore dollar, which is a lot. And if she stay with Ministry of Education. But Enterprise Singapore is also a government agency. So Jen asked Pastor Lily to pray for her. The MOE will allow her to transfer her from one agency, one government agency, to the next government agency without losing her long-term service record, without losing her 10,000 bonus, which is going to be released this February. So she asked Pastor Lily to pray. Pastor Lily said, I will pray. But when I pray, will you honor God with your substance? She said, same prayer, eh? I will. You know what happened? Pastor Lily prayed in faith. And the next day, we received the news from Jen. Thanks for praying, guys. My offer went through. And I can place on the movement scheme from MOE to Enterprise Singapore. I won't be losing my bonus. They will transfer my 5 years experience from MOE into this present company. Her long-term service record remains intact. Because of Jen's faith and asking Pastor Lily to pray, God top up the icing in the cake. She was given 3 days extra annual leave. She was given $500 bonus. God loves to do that. God loves to. Of course, she will honor God with her substance. Okay, she will say, she will give half of her bonuses to God. And I know she will do it because she's very scared of God. When she promised God something, she did not break the promise. She said, it's so scary. What is something? If I don't honor God with my substance, God will make something even worse for my life. Okay, but here, it is saying that both the example of my two children are not a definition of faith. And which is more practical, is the practical outworking of the faith of our lives. The practical outworking, a picture of the practical outworking of the faith of life. That is what Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about. So faith is the substance, the ground, the foundation, the confidence. From the Old Testament, the idea of faith has two important ingredients. Faithfulness and trustworthy on the part of us as a believer. On the part of me as a believer, there must be faithfulness. There must be trustworthiness. On the part of God, there is also faithfulness and trustworthiness. This is the opposite of apostasy. Do you know Hebrews chapter 11 was written to warn us against apostasy if you read it properly? That's why Paul said, I believe that you are not like those people. I believe that you will continue in faith. I will talk about the opposite of faith, which is apostasy, in the next point. I will come to this later. But on the part of God, there is faithfulness and trustworthy on the part of God also. So on both parts, it's like a covenant. Faith is a human response to God's faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you this morning. Faith is our response to God's faithfulness and His promise. The Bible says, Abraham, hope against hope, believe in hope, have faith, fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will bring it to pass. That is faith. Many a time you are stretched, hope against hope, still believe in hope, which is faith. Fully persuaded that what God has promised each and every one of our life, He will bring it to pass. We trust His worthiness. We trust His trustworthiness, not our own. We trust His character. The Greek term for faith, okay, pistis, is translated into three English terms. Faith, believe, trust. So you come to God and you say, I have faith in you. I believe in God. I trust my God. When He has manifested, think all these three characteristics, you are expressing the outworking of your faith towards God. Faith denotes an attitude of patient and confident waiting for something. The state of confident expectation, that means a hope. For instance, which is very important, which is also written in Hebrews 11. I believe there is a heaven. I have an attitude of patient and confident waiting for heaven. I'm in a state of confident expectation. I'm 60 years old. I'm in a state of confident expectation for what is coming, which is heaven. 72% of Americans believe in heaven. Meaning to say that 1/3 of the world's population, which is more than 2 billion people, doesn't believe there is a heaven. It takes faith to believe there is a heaven. Worse still, only 58% of Americans believe there is a hell. This is even more scary because 50% of the people of this world don't believe in hell because they don't want to be there. By not believing in hell doesn't mean that there is no hell. I'm telling you, all the more by not believing in hell, it puts you in dangerous ground. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe there is a heaven. Have you seen heaven? No. Do you believe there is a heaven? Yes. That is faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Do you know that we have a happy future? Faith, the Christian faith, has a very bright outlook concerning the future. The Christian faith has a very optimistic, bright outlook concerning what is coming to pass in the future of our life. We have an optimistic future. It's not dependent on luck. Well, by luck, I go to heaven. No. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent by our natural endowment. I must be good. No. It's not dependent on all these things. But we have a bright future because of Christ's humanity. He came down from heaven. Because of God's character, the implicit goodness of God. Because, and the element in bringing about this wonderful future is because of God's choice, Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. In the early days of persecution, they brought a very humble Christian before the judges. This humble Christian told them that they could not shake him because he believed that if he was true to God, God would be true to him. This judge cynically said, do you really think that the likes of you, people like you, will go to God and His glory? That means you once you die, you will go to God and you will go to the glory of God. He said, this man said, I do not think, I know that I'm going to heaven. John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, he was one time attacked with tremendous uncertainty in his life. He said this, everyone do think that their own religion is right. The Christian believe their Christian is right, their religion is right. The Buddhists believe their religion is right. The Hindu believe their religion is right. The pagan believe their religion is right. The Jews believe their religion is right. So he said, how if all our faith in Christ, the scripture that we believe in, should become just a thing so, maybe. Then one day the light broke up and he cried out saying, now I know, I know that Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. I know that if I will die today, I will go to heaven. Theophilus says this, the resurrection has not yet taken place, but faith substantiates it in our soul. Heaven has not come in our life yet, but faith in our heart substantiates that it is going to come to pass in our life. Heaven is one of those things not seen. Faith is a substance of things not seen. Heaven is one of those things not seen. So how do we do? Therefore, I live in hope. I live in hope in the present and future acts of God. And I live in confidence in the spiritual promises of God. Number three, which is more important, my whole worldview is guided by faith. I know that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing by. I have a mansion laid up somewhere beyond the blue sky. My worldview guides my daily decision in life. Your daily decision in life is guided by your worldview of faith. Not by circumstances. Whether it's COVID or no COVID. Whether you got money or no money. Whether you have difficulties or no difficulties. My worldview is not guided by circumstances. Not guided by materialism. Not guided by self-centeredness. But guided by faith. Physical reality is subservient, subordinate, excessively submissive to the unseen spiritual reality. In Hebrews 11:3 say, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the work of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Physical reality is known by the five senses. Our sight, our hearing, our smell, our touch, our speech, okay, but they are not eternal. They are fleeting. They are fleeting. Sometimes our eyes tell us, oh, circumstances is so difficult, so difficult, so difficult. But no, the spiritual reality says, you will be over. You will overcome it. You'll be okay. True eternal reality is unseen and therefore must be held by faith, not sight. However, it's so real and true to the believer that it controls and demands our priorities. I'm asking you, does faith controls and demands your priorities in life? Or the circumstances of materialism or your secular life controls, demands your priorities in life? Heaven is so real, it controls and demands my priorities. That is how the Old Testament heroes live. What will happen if you do like that? Hebrews 11:2 says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. If you have faith, you obtain a good report. The elders here are the people of old, our ancestors. They were the great people of old who lived in the past. Hebrews 11 lists now some of these great people. Many translations put this, that because of their faith, they obtain a good testimony. You want to have a good testimony? You want to have a good testimony? Faith. Obtain a good testimony. You want to receive approval by God? Faith. They want God's approval. They acknowledge. They became a testimony because of faith. Do you know that wonderful, powerful testimony are always the result of faith? You think over what I say. Wonderful, powerful testimony are always the results of faith. Going back to heaven and faith. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Wow! So powerful. The world was framed by the word of God. The phrase word of God is not in the Greek term logos, but it was actually here. It was actually the Greek term rhema, the spoken word of God. This then refers to creation by fiat. By fiat, the spoken word, F-I-A-T, the spoken word. Psalms 33, 6 and 9 say, by the word of God were the heavens made. And all the hosts of them, whether it's Pluto, whether it's a galaxy, okay, Now everybody are excited about this James Webb Telescope space, which I'm also excited. They are going to find the beginning of creation. He says this, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and he stood firm, stood fast. From Hebrews 12:2, we know that the Logos of God was God's agent of creation. So Jesus was God's agent of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God brings heaven into existence. So it means that the world was spoken into existence. So I'm not rejecting scientific research. But actually you put the scientific research into a fair perspective. You know, my son-in-law, to be very honest, he is quite a brilliant guy, okay? He comes from one of the top five universities in the world. And he taught, he was the valedictorian of that cohort in that university. So he's really very smart, okay? Too smart for Pastor Lily and me, okay? Until we call him a little bit, I better not say, okay? Yeah. Live stream. But he has a hard time accepting the creation story of Genesis 1. But we as believers, we allow science to discover the mechanism of the creation order, but affirm ultimacy to God alone. You understand what I'm saying? We allow science, okay, the mechanism of creation to go proceed forward, but in the end, we affirm ultimacy to God. God is the one that created the world. Two of the greatest minds. None of us can be compared to them. Isaac Newton, theory of gravity. Albert Einstein, theory of relativity. He says that light doesn't travel in a straight line. Whoa, very scary. Light can bend. These two great minds, until today, they are the foundations of their research are still what the scientists today are doing, like James Webb telescopes, space telescope. They are trying to, they get the foundation of Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton, and from there, they try to discover the universe. Yet both believe in God. Do you know Isaac Newton was one of the fervent believers of the Bible? He wrote so many things about the Bible, about the end times. He said Christ will come in 2026. But he said that this is my personal view. Sorry, 2062. Tremendous. Both believe in God. Both are great scientists. Number two, the apostasy of faith. In the second point, I go back to the previous statement. From the Old Testament, the primary ideas of their faith is faithfulness and trustworthiness on your part, on the part of each and every one of us. This is the opposite of apostasy. Okay, on our part, there must be faithfulness. On our part, there must be trustworthy. No matter there's COVID-19, whether there's money, whether there's situation, whether you have a girlfriend or no girlfriend, whether you are alone and you marry age of 20, 40 and 52. There must be trustworthiness. There must be faithfulness. I ask, where are the rest of the people in the midst of this COVID-19? The antonym for faith is unbelief. Apostasy. I said just now, the Greek term for faith is pistis. There must be faith. There must be belief. There must be trust. The Bible says, whatsoever that is not of faith is sin. The children of Israel entered not the promised land, but died in the 40 years of wilderness because of unbelief. Again, faith is the opposite of apostasy. Unbelief, sin, apostasy are synonymous. So if you don't have faith, you have unbelief. If you have unbelief, you have sin. You have sin, you are an apostate. You are an apostate. A Bible commentator, while commenting on Hebrews chapter 11, says, he gives the opposite of faith, which is apostasy. And he said it is found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and found in the book of Jude. 2 Peter 2 and Jude are some of the last Bibles. Okay, some of the last books of the Bible is about the end times book. It's about the last days. The last day, the manifestation of the last day of today is unbelief, apostasy, and sin. The opposite of faith. I pray. That's why Hebrews 11 was written to tell us, let's not give up our faith. What is apostasy? It is a total desertion. You leave. A departure from, you go. From one's religion. From one's principle of life. Hebrews 11 was written to warn us against apostasy. If you are not living in faith, you are living in apostasy. How is apostasy manifested? Who are the people that manifest apostasy? There are three groups of people. They are mentioned in 2 Peter 2 and Jude. First, they are the leaders of the church. They are called the false prophet. A very good example is Kibaloi. He is the son of God, eh? Huh? He is the son of God. The kingdom of Jerusalem is in the vow. He has been placed under FBI watch list for sex trafficking, money laundering, and others. He said that he sex trafficked underage girls. It is said that every night, girls are sent into his room and they are told it is an honor to serve the Son of God. There is a possibility of him being extradited to America. The sentence is lifetime imprisonment. You have to be very bad. You have to be very bad to be under FBI watch list. When persecuted, you know what they say? It is part and parcel of being a son of God. He has been a shooting star for 20 years. I believe he started in faith. But he's ending not in faith. They are the number one on God's watch list of apostates because they lead millions astray. One of their characteristics is that they live among the people of faith. Then they are the false teacher, the second group of people. They teach wrong doctrine. Their doctrines are heresies. Their caption is very deceiving. Very deceiving. They are the way. As Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Their way is the way of holiness. Their emphasis is Jesus is the only one. Level of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. So they baptize in Jesus' name only. This is totally unbiblical. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What part of the Bible you don't understand? It's so clear. What part you don't understand? Their doctrines are always half-truth. Heresies are always half-truth. These teachers are the leaders of the church. The characteristics is that they are not only living among the people, but they bring in damnable heresies. They deny that Jesus paid for their sin and purchased them with the blood. They ever do this secretly and deceive even the elect. How do you identify the false teachers that bring in heresy? Very, very simple. How do I know that they are Pharisees? They are heretics? Very simple. By the fruits, you know them. Very simple. By the fruits, you know them. They are so full of themselves. They will tell you, you can do anything in the church and anybody can do anything in the church. Because we live in an age of grace. And many follow their harmful ways. I mean, how many followers have Kibaloi? They are usually the biggest church in the cities. Other characteristics is that they are very covetous. They swindle people's money. They swindle common people's money. Like that guac kueto, is it? Swindles people's money. The fruit of their works are covetousness for money. Fleshly pleasures. Full of fleshly pleasures. And having the pride of life. They are so full of themselves. So full of themselves. The third group of people are called the world of the ungodly. We all fall into these categories. The majority of us fall into this category. We live in the cities, and their cities are called the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. What is their characteristics? They live ungodly lives. Their conversations are filthy. Their works are ungodly deeds. They walk in the flesh and lusted after uncleanness. They despise government control. You know, a group of teenagers beat up a bus driver because the bus driver said, "Please put on your mask." They beat him up. They beat him up because they say, "Nobody will tell me what to do, who I am, and what I can do, what I cannot do." This is a very characteristic of the last day Christian. The Bible is very clear. They will submit to government. As much as possible, we are submitting to the government concerning the COVID-19. Now it's level 3. Let's pray for level 2. A lot of our province are already under level 2. Okay, but we cannot have level 2 because the government said level 3. So we submit to level 3. You submit. Christ submit to the government. How do I know Christ submit to the government? One guy say, "Hey, how come you never pay tax?" Jesus said, "We'll pay tax. Go to the fish, Peter. Pick up the first fish. Take out the mouth from the fish, the first coin, the gold coin. Pay your tax." He submit to the government. Jesus submit to the government. He never criticized the government except one. And that is Herod. Because you can only criticize go against the government if they ask you to deny Christ. Even that is not physical rebellion. He only say one bad thing about Herod. Call Herod the fox. Because Herod was responsible for hindering the work of God. Constantly plotting against God's people. Herod was the one that beheaded John the Baptist and put his head on the platter. Herod was the one who built the temple, the Jerusalem temple. But many a time he went against conniving and hindering the work of God. Herod was the one who killed James, the brother of Jesus. Jesus' message has never been about the government. Jesus' message has always been about the gospel. So there was one time I was very critical of my government because they're very controlling. Okay? Whatever, all the newspaper, nothing, the opposition party cannot do anything. They abuse their power. And recently they are doing a few things again. They implement policy without seeking your permission. They want to do it, they do it. Become so bad that I was constantly speaking against the government. And Pastor Lily had to rebuke me and say, "Hey, the Bible says you have to submit to authorities." She was right. I have to submit to authority. So I keep my mouth shut, even though I don't like it. What are the characteristics of this third group of people? 2 Peter 2:14 says, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They have eyes full of adulteries, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable soul, women. A heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. What are the characteristics? Their eyes are always on the lookout for women whom they can commit adultery with. I ask some of you, nicely, humbly, is your eyes always on the lookout for some woman who you can commit adultery with because you are already married? Pastor Lily and me, once we stayed in a friend's house, because she invited us to stay there for the holiday. The husband was not happy. So they had a big fight. To pacify the husband, I have to bring him to the supermarket. And he asked me to buy cigarette for him. And I noticed him, his eye was roving, moving here and there. I mean, in front of me, his eye was roving and he spotted a lady. And he go after the lady. And he followed the lady in the supermarket in front of me. He is described in 2 Peter having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. But I believe that we are not of this three group of people. I pray that we are not of this three group of people. That's why Paul said, I believe better things of you. I have better opinions of you. And I pray that I have better opinions of each and every one of us here this morning. I choose to believe you are people of faith. The common characteristics of these three group of people is that they are not people of faith. They are filled with unbelief, self-centeredness. Number three, the power of faith that forms character. Faith controls the life of a believer. Faith engages his attention. Faith calls for his energy. His energy, his zeal for God was the result of faith. Faith moved his habit. His habit was formed as a result of faith. Faith directs his affection. His love for God was a result of faith. This man's hope is such that it dictates a man's conduct. Faith dictates a man's conduct. If you have faith, your conduct will be dictated by faith. He lives in it. He lives in it. He lives in it. He dies in it. And it is the possession of it that makes him what he is. How he acts. The conviction and the confidence will make his character, makes his character is grounded by faith. This faith receives splendid illustration in the lives of saints who lived in the Old Testament. They trusted in a Savior. We look back. We look at Jesus from in front. They look forward to a Jesus. They trusted in a Savior who has not yet around, yet they hope for, and the sacrifice of sin, not sin. They lived so long ago, and the truth they rested on still was not perfectly developed. Yet theirs was saving faith, vigorous, valiant, victorious. Then Paul turned his attention to the few illustration of faith. First, he was able by faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaker. Some people say Abel was accepted because his giving, his offering, his material was more valuable and more carefully selected. Cain, on the other hand, presented an offering of vegetables, taking whatever just come on his hand. Abel offered an animal sacrifice. The choices of the flock, the best of the flock, he could supply. Other judge that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent because in it was faith. And it was expressed in the giving. He worshipped God in spirit and in truth. Where else Cain was just a formalist, a hypocrite. But the view goes deeper than either of these two reasons. Abel's sacrifice was better, not merely because he brought it in faith, but because his faith led him to select an offering which in itself was more appropriate than that of Cain. What I'm trying to tell you is this. He was told the way of the offering. There must be animal sacrifice. And he followed that way. Like we told you, serve God. Do not forget the assembling together as the manner of Sunday. You follow the way. You follow the way. Forgive one another. In this church, there's bound to have different characteristics. Forgive one another. You follow the way. Cain, Abel understood the way. He followed the way. It was an act of faith, resting on the divine testimony of the need of the woman's seed and the necessity of atonement by blood. Cain, in presenting the sacrifice, the vegetable sacrifice, doesn't believe the gospel. You look at the world. How many believe the gospel? He doesn't believe the gospel, promise. And he repudiated the appointed way of salvation. God bear witness of Abel. How did he show it? Maybe fire came down to consume the sacrifice. Indeed, Abel still speaks to the whole church by faith. He teaches we can only approach God through the propitiation of Christ, that Pastor Lily has always been talking about. We must bring the sacrifice of a repentant spirit, a humble spirit. The power of faith
forms Abel's character. How was Abel's character formed? He was obedient. Are you obedient? Faith makes him obedient. Even things are difficult, he was obedient. He followed instruction. He worshiped God in spirit and in truth. He can't see God. He can't see the spirit of God. He still worshiped God in spirit and in truth. He doesn't put an idol there and he worshiped the idol, which many people at that time did it. But he worshiped God in spirit and in truth. It forms his character. He accepted the way of salvation through Christ. And here, we have a greater Abel, which is Jesus. Abel accepted, brought the blood sacrifice to God. Huh? The slaughtering of the animal. Jesus became the blood. Jesus became the blood, became the sacrifice. Abel died, and God was pleased with him. Jesus died, not just died. He died for the sins of the world. Abel's sacrifice was imperfect. Jesus' sacrifice was perfect. He cleanses the sin of everyone that believes in him. And not only he cleanses the sin of everyone that believes in him, he was resurrected. He was not just the sacrifice, he became the resurrected one. And he said, I will be with you, and I'm going to go with you, and you shall can conquer, and your life of faith will please me. And the Father said, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. Abel, Jesus Christ. The second one was Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has translated him. But before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now you see the contrast between Abel and Enoch. Abel was a little bit melancholic. He died. On the other one, Enoch, it was sweet. He was not, for God took him. Here we have the statement regarding Enoch's translation. His faith was the reason he was transported. I want to tell you, you are only going to make it to heaven by faith. His faith was the reason that he was transported to heaven, that he was translated to heaven without tasting death. His wonderful removal was the result of his singularly holy life. His faith caused him to live the holy life. See, if you have genuine faith, you will live the holy life. And God was pleased with his life. Enoch translation is said to have taken place because he was pleasing before God. Scripture bear witness that he had been well pleasing to God, but it informs us of his glorification. The spring of holiness in your life is always faith. Enoch, like Abel, believed in the sacrifice of Christ. He lived under the sense of divine presence. I ask you something. Okay, Pastor Lily said just now, we can sense the presence of God this morning. Do you live under divine presence of God? We don't see God, but we can sense the presence of God. He lived under the sense of divine presence. He confided in God. He talked to God. The Bible says he walked with God for 300 years. He confided. He fellowshiped with God. He cultivated congeniality with God, niceness, likability, relationship with God for 300 years. He had been witness to a sensual and ungodly world. Please, Enoch is not living in a world that he's a hermit. Okay, the world was very ungodly in the world he lived in, but he chose. To overcome the ungodly world by faith. He was like Moses, choosing rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. I ask you, do you choose rather to suffer as a Christian with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season? Pastor Lily said our life, the Bible said our life is like a hand's breadth. One hand's breadth is how long? Maybe 1 meter. I don't know. Our life is just 1 meter. It's nothing compared to the thousands and thousands and millions of lives eternally. So you are living your life for this hand breadth life? Or are you going to live your life eternally for God? Lastly, I finish. No faith no divine pleasure. I speak to you. No faith, no divine pleasure. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I asked Pastor Lily recently, dear, is it true that I only need faith to go to heaven? Pastor Lily said, yes, not works. You only need faith to go to heaven. This is a powerful statement to ponder. How does one go to heaven? By faith. Not by works. It's by faith. Paul talked about two indispensable articles. Faith. Concerning faith. First, his being. To believe in God. Being convinced of a truth. And that is, there is a God, not sin. Make evident only by revelation. Secondly, his benevolence. He is a rewarder of them. He will reward you. Today, you are sitting here on a Sunday. People are in a mall shopping, having fun, friendships, drinking. You are here because God tells you must be here. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That is the confidence of the things hoped for. I want to tell you, the Bible here did not say it is difficult to please God without faith. The Bible said it is impossible to please God without faith. Thomas Watson says, unbelief. Why are people not in this church? I just tell you frankly, unbelief. Unbelief is the root of apostasy. Whatever reason you give is still an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You just don't trust whatever they say. What is the reason for those who were once so zealous for God now despise and leave God? No, I ask you, why people are so zealous for God? Now they despise and leave God. I can only think of two people. Joshua Harris and Abraham Piper. John Piper's son, Abraham Piper. You know what Abraham Piper say? Nobody believes in a literal hell. He also say, it is very weird to make children read the Bible. Joshua Harris, on the other hand, declared that he has divorced his wife and is leaving Christianity. Why? Is it not because of unbelief? Just simple unbelief. They believe not that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Infidelity, Joshua Harris, is the cause of apostasy. Yes. Infidelity is the cause of apostasy. In the Greek, apista leads to apostasy. Unbelief is the breeder and fomenter of so much sin. The unbelieving heart is an impure heart. To whom He swear they will not enter in? To those who are disobedient. Those who are disobedient people are people of unbelief. Refuse to be persuaded. Deliberately disobey. So we see they are not able to enter because of unbelief. Literally not believing. Jesus, Israel's faith, is reflected in the disobedient. So we see that faith is clearly related to obedience. Faith is related to obedience. Unbelief is related to disobedience. Whatever people say, okay, whatever people do for leaving church, there's always this reason: unbelief, apostasy. Whatever they say, it's because of people, it's because of that, because of this, it's still unbelief. It's still apostasy. It's still disobedience. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I finish. The nature and the power of faith. I say, dear, who will make it to heaven? Faith. Faith. I believe in the goodness of God. On my part, there is trust. On my part, there is faithfulness. On God's part, there is trust. On God's part, there is faithfulness. You must believe in the goodness of God. We're going to sing the goodness of God. This morning when I was preparing this sermon, this song just keep on ringing. I don't know what they have gone through for the past 2 years. I don't know. Maybe some of you, he has drained your energy. He has sapped away your fire and zeal for God. Maybe some of you, the losing of jobs, the trying to find to survive has caused you to depart from God. Maybe some of you, your heart is so cold and so dead. I ask you today, you must believe that God is. And he's a rewarder of those that they diligently seek him. Shall we all stand up? Shall we all stand up? And I want you to release your faith. What is faith? Believe, trust. Believe and trust. So I want you to just exercise your faith this morning. We're going to see the goodness of God. And as we sing of the goodness of God, I want you to just allow the faith to arise. And I believe that God will do something upon your heart. Let the rivers of living water flow through you. Let the fire, the zeal, the habit start to mold one more time, to form one more time in your life as a result of faith. As we sing. Song, I surrender my life. The same song. I give you everything, I surrender my life. And God wants to restore your faith this morning. I told you just now, faith is not looking at your five senses. Faith is looking at a spiritual reality. So if you have fallen away, just come to God and say, God, restore my faith in you one more time. Restore my faith in you one more time. And let the fire of God come upon me. I'm going to make it to heaven by faith. Let's sing.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Though my life lay down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Though my life lay down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's running after me. My life lay down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Father, I pray right now for all these beloved people. I pray that faith will arise in your heart one more time. I pray that you will look at things in the eyes of faith. I pray that faith will control their life. I pray that faith will form their habits. I pray that faith will cause the energy to arise and the zeal for the Lord to arise. I pray that faith will cause the affection for you to grow one more time for each and every one of them. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that your people will understand the truth of the importance of faith in their life. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you very much. God bless you. Okay, please remember this afternoon, we have our second service at 2 p.m. Okay, the whole week. Okay, we have our services, okay, in the weekdays and also in the weekend. Thank you very much. God bless you. Counsel dismissed. Thank you.